Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me, as always, is my trusty right-hand man and co-host, Mr. Spencer. Did he get the asteroid again, Williams?
That was a reach, and it didn't work. I'm sorry.
Because this movie was so out there, there's really not much to pull from that it doesn't make fun of itself. And speaking of making fun of himself, we also have with us on the show, wow, intern slash part-timer slash, we'll still go with Ensign. Ensign, Amy.
I was final girl last week. What happened?
Oh, final girl, Amy. Sorry.
I wanted to be a lieutenant by the time we
never
got
make
done.
It. It's okay. But we also have with us guest on the show and actually returning guest, friend of the show and my brother, Ben, is here with us today.
Oh. Hello, everybody. Yeah. Glad to be here. This fine evening.
Yeah, we got a cavalcade of horror buffs outside of Amy here at this table.
Always outside of me.
Yeah. But we got a great show as we're going to be talking about as we continue our celebration of the Asylum Studios, our take on Asteroid-ageddon. So stick around as we dive into that. But before we do, Spencer, give them official opening stuff credit.
Tune in each and every Thursday. From now on and all your favorite streaming platforms and over on our website at filmlosopher.com.
Except for this episode. This episode's going to come out on Friday because we had some technical issues. I don't mind putting it out there. We were like, wait, it's Friday.
Okay, so this week, Friday only, special.
Friday special.
Also connect with us on the social pages.
Which would have been great last week because Friday the 13th. But still, go ahead.
Yeah, it would have, Eddie.
Hey, be it was my brand. Birthday week, okay?
Not Friday, though.
It's all month.
connect with us on the social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101.
That's right. You can check us out over to our website at filmlosophers.com. There we got allegedly over 300 episodes, everything from action, anime, comedy, suspense, thriller, all of the above. If you're looking for it, we got to head on over there to filmlosophers.com. We'll give you the rest of the links at the end of the episode. So we're actually kind of excited to talk about this movie because it really did a number on all of us. But before we do, I kind of wanted to jump in. So as we stated before the show started, I brought my brother in with us. Ben has actually been on the show before. I don't know if we've actually gone in depth in terms of the relationship between myself and Ben prior to this episode. Amy's looking weird.
He just showed up one day and he was there.
Well, technically,
appeared and then disappeared.
No, he appeared in the studio and you could hear him in the background for most of the episodes. If you go back through those episodes.
Okay, yes, I was a guy snoring. Okay,
yelling.
I had long days.
Yelling, snoring.
I yelled? When did I yell?
You were playing video games.
Oh.
I do remember that one.
So, Ben is actually my younger brother. He's about 4 years younger than I am. Yes. So, but he acts even younger.
Yes.
Oddly enough, when me and Spencer first started this show, Spencer was unaware of Ben. But
I wasn't unaware of him.
You weren't aware that I had a brother.
Yes,
you were
was.
Like Harry Potter.
I saw
you're just
around.
Under the stairs.
Like, remember?
I don't recall.
You saw me. You didn't speak to me.
Yes.
And I as
don't
tall
like
as you are, you just
strangers.
Glanced over me.
So remember literally. Back when they said when we were kids, like stranger danger? I just continued that until I was adults.
There you go. From one toothpick to another. There you go. Spencer's like, I'm not going back to that life. So over time, obviously, our show evolved as well as the relationship between myself and Spencer in terms of moving into a new studio. Things have changed. The show changed and we got to a point to where we had another place to record. My brother would come over and have a lot of little comments. And then he got to know Spencer and then gave even more comments.
A lot of little comments.
And then ultimately, Ben became kind of part of this circle with myself, Spencer, Amy. And we just kind of all clicked. So having been on the show, is actually not too far of like a reach of having just another solid fourth chair. He actually knows us well enough now. It's up to him if he's going to, you know, step up to the plate and actually give us something worth listening to. But either way,
we'll see.
Know.
We'll see. Yeah. Still up in the air.
So outside of the relationship between myself and Ben, Ben and Spencer have actually gotten really close and you guys become good friends over the course of time.
Yeah.
In fact, you guys even go to the gym together and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very brotherly. Very, very nice. Very nice. So Spencer, I have to ask, what do you see in this guy?
That's a good question. I don't know if it started off like, you know, well, I'm stuck with this guy, so, you know, might as well get to know him type
thing. I was going to say, it's like, we didn't even really talk all that much before, and I think you saw me playing a game once, and you're like, oh, you play that. And I think that's how we started talking.
With all the judgment that Spencer has. Oh, you play that.
It was kind of with that attitude behind it.
Okay, hold on.
Curiosity with like, really? That game of all?
It was 7 days, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was 7 days on the PS4. And the problem is that there was a whole kerfluffle with 7 days specifically on consoles versus the PC that he did not know about.
Yeah.
And then I had to, I started playing with him. On the PS4.
You what?
I started playing with you on the PS4.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
And then
you got so confused on some of the stuff because PC was so far more in the future than the PS4.
Because
was.
I was like, we need to get a truck. You're like, what truck? And I'm like, how is there not a truck in this game?
We can get a bicycle. Yeah. Is that what you meant?
Like the fastest thing you have is a bicycle? Yeah. And so like we start, that's exactly how it started. Like that.
And then he told me, oh, try it on PC. And I was like, no.
It took a while to convince him.
Yeah.
So Spencer's of the master PC race over here, where Ben started out as
a console
gamer.
But
he is an elitist. You should see his. We should take a picture of your desktop screen and what you play on to really show people how elite or non-elite you are.
It's fine. It's very basic.
It's a 75-inch, 75-inch, what is it, OLED screen.
It's 65.
Oh, my gosh.
With sound bars all around.
It's a massive thing. Who needs a curved screen when you have to look far left and far right just to look at your, you know, your HUD? But yeah, ultimately, this kind of brought in Ben into the fold, and we were able to kind of have more conversations. And oddly enough, as I've stated previously on the show, Ben and I come from a very, you know, eclectic horror background when it comes to movies. That's ultimately what a lot of what myself and Ben saw as we grew up, you know, where some people... We're big fans of like Beauty and the Beast and, you know, Aladdin and
There's
so forth.
There's nothing wrong.
No, I'm not saying there is.
I don't think he had that tone in
there.
Yes, he
did.
I'm saying in terms of childhood where kids grew up watching, you know, The Brave Little Toaster or Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast or whatever, or The Penguin and the Pebble, whatever it is.
Pebble and the Penguin.
Either way, Ben and I grew up watching, you know, Child's Play.
Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein.
We saw movies like the original Dracula, original Frankenstein.
The Wolfman.
Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th. These were the movies we were watching before we even turned 10. So this was what most of our viewing...
That was our education on movies.
Yeah, right that there. Was where a lot of our kind of building blocks for... who we are today, which for me, you know, I've talked about it, you know, that's my, you know, that's where a lot of my conversations steer from. For Ben, it just made him.
Yeah.
So take that with
what
you
will. Well, that got me into the horror games too, though. So
true,
like
true.
7 days is based like that. Phasmophobia, you know, games like
that. By the way, gaming information that still has to do with movies. I am super excited to check out Killer Clowns from Outer Space on the game.
Yes, I already got that on my wish list.
Do you have it pre-ordered? Yes. Is it pre-ordered?
Available? No, it's not pre-ordered yet. It's coming out soon. That's all it says, though.
But it looks amazing.
It looks like awesome.
I had homework for one of our junior philosophers, and they reported back when they saw it that they needed to watch at the beginning of October at least one cheesy horror movie, and they saw Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, still and, one of my favorites.
And it's such a ridiculously fun movie that makes no sense.
Come on, they shot the people and turned them into cocoons. Cotton candy.
Cotton candy cocoons.
And then they put straws in them to drink them?
Yeah.
Come on.
And then you had the Clownzilla, and then the popcorn that apparently was just eggs to turn into other crazy monsters. Oh, and then the cream pies that were acidic and dissolved the poor security guard.
You can't forget the balloon dog. that or sniffed them out.
The balloon attack dog. Spencer knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've seen this movie, right?
I know what you're talking about.
I was just re-listening
to this, and I'm like, this movie sounds like a fever dream.
It does. It does. And the great thing is, hopefully one day we'll have intern slash final girl, Amy.
Just me.
We'll have Amy. We'll have Amy watch the movie if she so feels.
You never seen that movie?
Jane on Scene. That's what I'm telling you.
Oh,
there's a whole list to this, buddy.
There's a list. Wait, just like one paper list kind of thing.
No, it's not just a one paper list.
There was a poster at one point in time.
Yeah, there was. There was also
how many columns?
Multiples. Five or six. Okay, I'm gonna put it to you this way. There's at least 100 movies that she stole.
Minimum.
Did she at least get to half or a quarter of them yet?
No.
She's chipped away at some. I'll give her that.
Is she watching one per month?
She's watching them at her leisure. I am watching roughly one a month. That's good. I haven't followed up with you in terms of what you've actually seen.
No, you just get cross because it's October and I'm not watching spooky
And there's
movies.
A lot of spooky movies. So
that's her main genre on there?
No. It's all kinds of things. Like she just saw...
You watched Cheetah Bing Bing?
Oh, I saw that a long time ago.
That's a musical. If you listen to the podcast, you'll know that's a
Britney. It's also the Sherman Brothers, which is like a direct line into Disney.
So there's a whole list for that. Hopefully, we'll get a chance as soon as Halloween season is over where she'll be able to do another Jane on Scene of movies that she hasn't seen, that she should have seen.
You watch Little Shop of Horrors?
Mm-hmm.
It's a musical.
You're missing the point.
That's what I'm saying. But it's also like in the classification of horror.
Sweeney Todd, musical. No, it's considered a horror musical. Jekyll and Hyde, sketchy.
He's called the Demon Butcher. How would that not be?
I was talking about Little Shop.
Technically the original version, was supposed to be considered horror.
But no.
But they had different cuts.
But we'll follow up with Amy and her Jane on Scene progress after the Halloween season is up, because I don't think she's going to see anything else spoopy outside of Arachnophobia. Spoopy? I don't know.
Scary.
Spoopy.
Spoopy.
But
sorry, off topic, my bad.
So speaking of which, that brings us to the wonderful opportunity to continue celebrating the Asylum Studios as we dive into our main conversation of the evening and our review of Asteroid-ageddon. Don't let this music fool you. We're not reviewing that one. We're reviewing Asteroid again, not Armageddon. But this is Amy's favorite song, so we just have to bring it back into.
If you listen to that episode, you'll know how much I truly, truly love the song.
So before we dive any further, Spencer, why don't you give us that official synopsis goodness?
A global scientific summit debates and fails on a plan. Wait, what does that say? Fails on a plan to stop a massive asteroid heading straight for the Earth, with all countries blaming each other for the impending disaster, with communications tense, the daughter of a tech billionaire. She's a daughter of a tech billionaire?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
I didn't know that.
Assembles her own team of specialists, does she? To try to destroy the asteroid before it's too late.
I'm not going
to
lie. Yeah. There was no official synopsis for this anywhere. This was the only official quote-unquote, so... Written and directed by Jeff Mead, the film stars Eric Roberts, Veronica Issa, Jennifer Lee Wiggins, Craig Jealous, Terry Woodbury, D'Artagnan Woods, and Isaac J. Cruz. The film was released on October 23rd of 2020, straight to TV viewing, so there was no, obviously, theatrical release. Ames over here mouthing the words to this song, even though she just gave us that whole little, you need to listen to that episode.
No one could see me.
The movie would actually not see the light of day internationally until it was released of March 8th of the next year. So there was at least a 4 or 5 month gap between, oh no, I'm probably 6 or 7 month gap before it went overseas. And the first place it landed in was in France. So I don't believe it made it to Japan until August. So they were just no. So, and honestly, there's no information about this movie. I had a hard time finding any trivia, so I just found a factoid about asteroids in general.
I have one piece of trivia.
Oh, by all means.
Okay, so Isaac J. Cruz plays Hugo in this movie. He's not credited as Isaac J. Cruz. His name in the credits is Zachary Cross. It's the only one where he doesn't use his actual name because
he didn't want his name on the movie. No. Oh my gosh. That says so much about what we're going to be talking about now.
Hilarious.
Sounds so exciting, right? Oh my God.
Little piece of information about asteroids. As I was mentioning, the first asteroid was Ceres, discovered by Giuseppe Piazza in 1801. And there are actually over 1,113,527 known asteroids as of 2022.
You know, before you gave that explainer and I was just looking through the notes, I just saw that and I was like, all right, why not?
Why not? Yeah. So, yeah, we are continuing our month of celebrating the asylum by randomly drawing. We randomly drew last week for movies to review, and this was one of them. And so we put it on the list where we thought it would fit best. And so here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Oh, yeah.
This was this one. This was Amy's choice.
Both, like, two out of my three choices ended up being picked randomly. Yes,
you got zero. Amy got two. I got one.
But that was also the... one you want. Well, really, I got the one you wanted.
Well, because you picked it twice.
Wanted, which is going to be next week's episode.
well yeah.
Very concerned.
But this one was sort of like a throw.
I don't know how I feel about next week's episode, but we'll see. It might be just a horror just to watch it. So,
all right, you're gonna have to tell me later.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. And for you listening, if you don't know what that is, go listen to last week's episode. We did draw them on the episode
right towards the end. Yeah.
So, diving into this conversation, obviously, this movie is going to have spoilers because we just really don't care. So, if you haven't seen...
I don't think it matters, though, too.
It doesn't.
I don't think anybody's going to watch this anyway.
After
our conversation, they'd be like, yeah, no.
Well, I went almost 10 years without watching Sharknado, any of them, till literally we did our episode. So,
I
made it a
decade.
I
only watched
the
first one, and that was it.
I didn't see any of them. I was pure.
Now she saw all... Six. Oh, and God. Now
I feel so sorry for you.
It was entertaining.
It was fun.
It was fun for us.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything. I'm already in enough hot water. So
yep.
Yeah. Shark infested waters.
So also, by the way, if you've listened to us thus far, we are going to be reminding you about the giveaway that is still going live on our Linktree. If you head on over to our website or head on over to any of our social media platforms, in the link in our bio, we do have our link to sign up for the giveaway, and get your name in there so that you can get a signed script from Thunder Levin from that first Sharknado film. So get it in there. But like I said, spoiler warning, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk expectations. We knew what we were getting into. Mm-hmm. All of us knew because we had picked it. I honestly didn't know anything about the movie other than obviously telling by the music we had, it had to do with an asteroid. And we already had this smash hit movie of asteroids, which is Armageddon or Deep Impact, however you look at it. Yeah. And so what were some of your guys' expectations going into this movie? I want to start with Amy because number one, she was the one who picked it. And number two, it actually got picked. So
yeah. So in picking it, I kind of just went down the list, and originally I wanted to do another movie by Thunder Levin, but I was also trying to avoid a Mockbuster, which we talked about off air. Mm-hmm. And so this one was like, it doesn't seem like it makes enough sense.
Does
like
this have any ties to Thunder Levin?
No, because the one I wanted was about zombie mutants, a vampire, something in the hood. It was like one of his first movies.
Why was that not on the list? Why
because it wasn't an asylum movie.
Oh, yes, I remember you talking
about
it.
Because we talked about it. But it was the one that, it was either that or A.E. Apocalypse, which we couldn't tell. Spencer and I couldn't figure out if it was.
It was Titan A.E. or A.E. After Earth.
Yeah, we couldn't figure it out. And we're like, no, we don't want to do that.
Which, you know, both of them are not.
Nope. They were not enough. So this, I was just like, big giant rock. Let's figure out how big giant rock coming towards Earth sounds. So my expectations were, this is going to be terrible, but I'm going to enjoy it because I have slowly come to the side of B-movies are hilarious.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
They are so frustratingly hilarious that you have to laugh at them. And if you're not laughing at them, you're way
yeah, I get serious. It. You're going to take his side. I hear you, okay?
Join the winning team.
Oh, I'm in Thunder Levin's side, but either way.
Whatever.
Either way, Thunder Levin doesn't have a beef with me.
Spencer, what were some of your expectations going into this? Did you see any trailers on this, or did you even read any information on this movie?
I didn't even know there was a trailer available. Shoot.
Yeah, there is a trailer. I sent it off to Ben when I realized he was going to be on the episode, and he was just like, give me the movie.
He's like, let me warn you first.
I was like, okay. For me, I heard the title Asteroidageddon, and I was like, all right, I'm on this train. That movie title is ridiculous, and I need to know nothing more about it.
Mm. I like this.
Yes.
I'm good with this.
Ben, since you are the one who most recently saw this movie.
You kind of look perplexed.
So expectations, what were you expecting just from the trailer that Spence sent
you? I didn't even watch the trailer.
Oh, you just hopped to the movie?
So, I just went straight. Because if you watch the trailer, you kind of get the idea of what it is. But the title alone
I'm pretty sure all the best parts of the movie were in the trailer.
Maybe.
But so when he said Asteroidageddon, what were some of your first thoughts?
My first thought was, oh, it's going to be a downgrade of Armageddon. And it did not disappoint on that part. And once you get Armageddon, you watch Armageddon and Deep Impact, there's no movie that's going to be better than that one. And I knew this one wasn't going to do any better. So I was like, sure, why not? Let's see how bad it can get.
It can get and, so bad.
Ended up watching it twice, though.
Twice?
The second time with my mom. And she was laughing.
See,
she has a good sense of humor. But
mom has a weird and twisted sense of humor sometimes.
Yes,
so.
I know.
I mean, she finds joy in watching Arachnophobia over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things. expectations for me, it's an asylum movie. that should really just set the tone for everything. Like, my expectation was this was not only going to be nonsensical, but because of how much I had not heard about it, because a lot of the other ones that you hear, especially if you've watched Sci-Fi Channel content at any point in time, you obviously know that over the course of time, some names become more synonymous than others. And so you get an idea of the more popular ones. Hmm. Obviously, like Sharktopus, Mecha Shark versus Mega Shark. Uh-huh. Why are you looking at me, Sharktopus?
Because it sounded hilarious when you said it.
Sharktopus?
Yeah. It just did.
It's what you think. It's a shark octopus.
The 11-year-old in Amy just came out.
What about Lavalantula?
You know about Lavalantula, especially with the cameo from Steve Guttenberg in Sharknado.
What was the one about the spiders? The lava, was it like lava?
That's Lavalantula.
Oh, sorry.
Lavalantula.
Yeah. And then I was thinking about piranhas for some reason, too. But yeah, there's a lot. Oh, there's a lot. I mean, there's American, it's not Battleship, but is it American?
No, I thought it was American Battleship.
Is it?
There
because,
is.
Because Battleship yeah,
no, American name. Warship.
American Warship. Because I think I had put that on my list. Yeah. Yes. So.
Which was the Thunder 11. Sorry.
Okay. but no, because like, you know, most of the bigger names, you know, you're more familiar from some of their bigger ones, their bigger, you know, conversation pieces. I had never heard anything about this movie and it has Eric Roberts in it. And if you're unfamiliar with Eric Roberts is the brother to very successful actress, Julia Roberts.
Big brother. Actually.
Big brother to Julia Roberts, which came as a surprise to both of these two, Spence and Amy. Because
yes.
when I mentioned it, when we reviewed it, because Spence, I, and Amy saw it together, they had no idea, Ben, who Eric Roberts was related to.
Oh.
Similar to...
Well, I've seen a lot of his movies, but I didn't know either until today.
What? That he was
related to her. And the only reason why I know is because, you know, mom's favorite actress. So...
So our mother, pouring a little tea on the table, our mother absolutely abhors Julia Roberts. Mm. My mother has once been quoted as saying she is a walking skeleton.
No joke. I can attest to that. Yeah.
She could be watching one of the best movies out there. And the moment Julia Roberts shows up, she goes, and she does all that. She's like, you could tell her demeanor just like...
It changes really quickly, just like the girl in the movie.
Like, this is in this movie. God dang it. Yeah. Like, stuff like that. That's literally my mom. So my mom has this kind of hate for Julia Roberts that has lasted about almost 30 years.
About as long as we lived.
As long as we've been alive.
Yeah.
Also, information that these two Ben didn't know. They didn't know that Chris Sarandon was Susan Sarandon's ex-husband.
Oh, I thought, I didn't know it was the
Chris Sarandon, the cop from Child's Play.
Yeah.
He used to be married to Susan Sarandon.
Really?
And then they divorced.
I didn't know they were married.
And then, Susan Sarandon really liked her name, so she never got rid of it.
Oh.
So she has always been Susan Sarandon, even though she's not married to a Sarandon.
Yeah.
So, new information for all you guys. So,
finders keepers, I guess.
So let's talk first impressions. As we dove into this film, we came out on the other side. I'm not going to say unscathed, but we came out on the other side, much like Jim Carrey in the second, Ace Ventura movie. We came out of the hole. What were your guys' first impressions? I want to start with Spencer. You being the B-movie aficionado, that's why I'm starting with you.
Okay, so like getting into this movie, I started to get a little bit concerned because it seemed just a touch on the slow side initially. But like once you get past that midway point, movie really does pick up and actually was quite great.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. Because I feel like Amy has a different opinion. Amy, what's your first impression on this movie as soon as it was over?
No, I actually kind of agree. It's that first kind of third is a little like, we're walking slowly with our hands in our pockets. And then it just gets to a point where you're like, this is so ridiculous and beautiful. And I can see that car in the background in your outskirts of South America. Or it might be South Africa is what they had put it at.
No, they're in Chile.
No, so, Chile.
Yeah.
Well, you could see the house. You could see the power lines. You could see the trees that weren't trees.
You could see everything.
You could see everything, which made it even more hilarious. And I was sober. That was the best part.
Wait, do you usually watch them not sober?
When we get into the bad movie territory, it becomes like one a glass question
of
wine. Mark.
Yeah, it's one kind glass of a one
wine glass. Movie.
No.
A beer movie.
No. It's a
moonshine.
It's a we need to bust out some heavy stuff to have an actual cocktail in front of us so we can.
Oh, you got
to
invite me next time.
No, I take that back.
Because
the last
we're
few
beatbox.
We went beatboxes.
We went beep. Yeah.
You've never heard of a beatbox?
No, not yet.
What?
Not what do you mean not yet? Mean?
He's not ready. He's not ready for the beatbox.
So
I'm so confused so right now.
You know those? Remember those old school protein containers that had like that little twist top? On the top, they were like cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
Okay. So they made these super high alcohol juices. I'm not even gonna say fruit juices because they're just juices. And they taste good. You have to doctor them up a little bit, but you could use them as a base, and you will feel good.
Oh, that sounds terrible. You got to tell me where that's at.
Everywhere. They sell them everywhere now.
For less than $5, you too can
super
have
cheap.
A juice box.
They're surprisingly cheap.
Yeah.
What's the percentage on the alcohol?
14?
It's 15? Up to
14?
15? Something like that. What? But, so when we did Abraham Lincoln.
11.1%.
That's 11.
That's not bad, though, because Four Locos is like 12, ain't it?
But what did we add? We added something,
we added
to
something
that got
to them.
Even crunkier.
Oh, how did I miss that party?
It was for Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln.
I'm not there for him. I'm there for the booze.
No, we just had.
Was it Nemesis? It wasn't for Nemesis.
It was for Nemesis.
It was for Nemesis.
Yes, the remnants of Star Trek Month will always be here.
Tom Hardy did the best he could.
Well, yeah.
R.I.P.
Ben, first
in peace. He's not dead.
That movie.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, wait a second. Who died?
You have to be careful. We lost Anton a whole Yelchin. Bunch of people. And I'm like,
seriously.
What? We just lost Suzanne Summers.
Oh, no. Burt Young died yesterday.
I don't know who
Burt
that
Young is.
Is
the guy who played Polly in the Rocky movies.
Oh, that's who they were talking about.
Yeah, Burt Young. He passed away just recently.
I love how Salty Spencer's like, no. Yeah. Oh, well, I wonder if they're burying him with his robot.
They would bury
that
him
like
with his robot.
Too soon. That was too soon. Wow. The man's not even like freshly down
that
in his grave
one,
and you're like,
the one
he
thing
just
I
died
had
yesterday.
The,
he
I
hasn't even been
yesterday?
Buried. I told you that earlier. I texted you and said, hey, the guy you hate on Rocky is dead. Aren't you happy?
You hate him?
Well, I had difficulty with
you
him.
You have
and
strong
his
dislike towards him?
Strong dislike.
Was it just because of the robot and
yes.
the innuendo of the robot?
Yes.
It was too much.
Yes. I mean, also the thing that he used to, you know, emotionally abuse his sister.
Oh.
So it was the double, it was double handed. Okay. But yeah. Sorry, my dudes. Anyway.
So harsh, man. Guy's not even
impressions?
Like. He's impressions? Impressions. Dead in the ground.
Yeah, let's get
he's
back
not
on
in the
topic.
Ground.
He's not in the ground. That's right. And you're talking bad about him.
You already said ben. You want him in a box.
Ben. First impressions of this movie. Since you said you saw it twice.
I saw it twice. Yes, I did.
The first time
it was interesting. I wouldn't say I didn't like it, but I ain't going to say I enjoyed it.
he's got a point.
It is slow, but at a certain point, it kind of goes up and down. Mm-hmm. Like, it gets exciting. You're like, oh, okay. Then all of a sudden it goes back and you're just like, oh, again? Okay.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's kind of a back and forth kind of thing.
In
the end, it was okay. I wouldn't say it was great, though, but I had to watch it again just to make sure I didn't miss anything, though.
You're brave for seeing it a second time, because I only saw it the once.
That's okay. Mom watched it, too, so I don't feel bad.
And she had a great time.
And she did. Oh, my gosh. The only thing that was missing was the booze.
What? A beer. Eddie, your impressions?
My impressions of this movie, I had fun because I knew this movie was not a serious movie. Like, I actually enjoyed the ridiculousness and inconsistencies that happened throughout this movie.
Yes.
Because they are literally just like, I feel like the writers of, or even the people who pitch these movies at the asylum are just sitting in a room like this, and they have different sticky notes on the wall, and they just got those little, like, those sticky little gloosh balls that they have from TikTok, and they're just like, all right, what's our next movie? And then someone closes their eyes, and they just throw it, and it lands on, okay, we're gonna do Nazi zombies, and they threw another one, and the cast of Baywatch, and, you know, I feel like that's kind of
like, yeah, that'd be interesting.
I mean, there's a South Park skit that they did where they talked about how Family Guy does their
writer's room.
Yeah, does their writer's room, and it's literally a bunch of dolphins and stuff like that. It's really weird.
That
like,
makes sense.
They literally, like, they have the dolphins, like, come in and bring these balls in, and they, like, they make no sense, but they're like, all right, we got a monkey, you know, at, you know, a chiropractor with a clown. Let's make it work. And it's like, okay.
Now I'm really stuck, and I'm going zombie watch. Uh-oh. It happened. I'm sorry. My brain went there.
Does that include the cranberry song?
Yes.
Zombie watch. So this movie had a lot of just ridiculousness to it. I had fun watching just how campy and corny this movie was. And that says a lot for me because I'm not a big B-movie fan when it comes to, obviously, just with our recent viewings of things like the Sharknado films. And I feel like there's a purpose behind them. I'm working through that trauma, I swear.
It's going to take a long time.
Sorry, Thunder. With this one, it was just like, all right, you know what? Just having fun, just watching a movie. It's ridiculous. It's not supposed to be taken seriously. It's just, this movie is the type of movie where you just want to create a drinking game based around it because of how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
Like every time,
all the hands and the squidgy faces. You can
or the main actress, every time she did the oak face, like everybody drinks when she's like, oh. So, you know, it was fun. I got to give it that. But let's dive into the performers. And honestly, I feel like just the most notable name needs to get, you know, taken out of the way already. And we were talking about Eric Roberts. Eric Roberts is in this movie for maybe a total of like six lines.
Maybe.
And
he's sitting and nodding, which I'm like, you got paid a whole amount for whatever.
Mm-hmm. But don't forget, he was sitting down too with a beer.
That was, I did. That. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. He had that one.
I pointed that out.
And he was on the couch at one point.
Yeah,
inside of their super secret war room, there's couches.
Which, well, it was the summit. So
it was the summit, but at the same time, all they did was just remove lights, and then it changed at the end, and then they moved things around, and it was the lounge room or whatever towards the second part.
But they only showed four in the summit. I thought there was supposed to be more people.
They're supposed to be. That's why they kept zooming in on the flags and then creating the sound around the outside.
I got so confused on that part.
I just laughed.
Eric Roberts is the type of guy where you would figure.
He's 700 and some odd movies.
Oh, I thought you were going to say age-wise.
Yeah, I did too.
No.
The man is 700 years old. He's next to Keanu Reeves.
No,
they don't age.
No, I'm like, okay, I don't know this guy. And I went and clicked on his IMDb, and I was like, okay, he's got 678 already released films or credits. And he's got another 80 that are upcoming.
Which right? It does.
That's so awesome.
Here's the thing, though.
So weird.
That 678 credits towards movies, TV, commercials, music videos.
He was in music videos?
Yeah.
He's in the
that's awesome.
He's in the Mariah Carey video. That's that song that's really popular. We Belong Together, I think.
We Belong Together.
He's in that video. What was that other one?
He's in a few.
He's in
I just remember
it's
Best
that
of the
killer
Best
song, Mr. Brightside. He's in Mr. Brightside.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just like Best of the Best. That's
talking about way back.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you know this, but Eric Roberts is he used to be a very practiced martial artist.
And then?
He got older. I don't know.
And then?
Like, he did like the first two Best of the Best movies, the first Best of the Best movie is about the Olympic karate team.
Wait a minute.
I've heard you this
you've
before.
You showed me, and I think I fell asleep.
It's got that one guy.
Gym.
Because it's got that one guy from.
Quirky
he was on
Romano.
That, Well, okay, you got that guy from Corky Romano, the brother, the bigger brother,
yeah,
who is like trying to hide that he's gay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you have the other guy who was on that PAX TV show.
There's a lot of PAX TV shows. No. Was he touched by an angel?
I was Death Angel, right?
I was like, was he touched by an angel?
Yeah, I don't know if he was Death, but yeah, he was on Touched by an Angel.
Yeah,
as
every
well.
Time someone was about to die, he's like, go, I got this.
And that's something like that.
So he's Eric Roberts. So that movie was kind of a big hit during the 80s.
But not Kumite.
They all came out around the same time.
Yeah.
You're looking at it in an era during the 80s where America thought, hey, we have people who could do martial arts. Let's put out martial arts movies. And then you had Bloodsport. You had Best of the Best. You had Roadhouse. You had all these other things where people were like trying to do some form of karate.
I've only seen one of those films. I'm very proud of myself.
One of the three that he mentioned?
Yeah.
Yeah, we reviewed Bloodsport.
Yes.
And it was
my
it
first
was,
viewing.
It was a very difficult thing because of the fact that all she wanted to do was talk about how much of the military, you know, incorrect fallacies that are going on in the movie rather than actually watching the movie.
Oh.
So that was fun.
But then I did. And I also enjoyed some of it because there was the bigger guy that he ends up being in like a chunk of Adam Sandler movies.
With the
long scraggly hair.
Oh, you're talking about
the dude with
Jackson.
The lazy eye?
Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
The guy who tries to like hit on the Asian woman.
Yeah, he's the one that ends up in the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Jackson, right?
Yep.
He's in a bunch of Adam Sandler movies?
How did you forget?
Yeah,
no, I know who he was. So. I didn't know he was in Adam Sandler movies.
I don't know if I've ever seen him. I don't know. I've only seen him in like a few other like movies during the 80s and maybe 90s, but I don't think I've ever seen
him. Do you know what I was thinking of? Sorry, I was thinking of Revenge of the Nerds. My bad.
Oh, yeah, he's in Revenge of the Nerds. Those are all 80s movies.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to go track him down. Forrest Whitaker. You're going to take a backseat to this.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Scrolling through the wiki.
Okay.
So, I didn't. But yeah, outside of Eric Roberts, honestly, I think the only other. Well, yeah, I'm going to throw it to Spencer. Was there any other performer that you wanted to highlight? Because I'm just at a. I do not want to talk really about Veronica Issa as the daughter because she was
just want to make faces.
She just wanted to make faces in that movie. It was almost like this was maybe her second acting gig.
Well, and I told Spence that if you turn off the audio and just look at her face, it looks like she's mad all the time, no matter
what.
Oh,
that's true. She actually was mad throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, because I noticed that because like anytime she's supposed to be sad, she still looked mad. She was supposed to be sorry, and she still looked mad. Or she looked surprised, and she looked mad. Like that was her only attitude face that she had throughout the whole movie. No matter what news she got, she was mad.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
I mean, she did have 5 acting credits before this movie. So.
A whole 5?
Were they actual acting or were they like commercials, shorts?
One was a short, but the others look like TV's movies.
Oh.
She's also in Stalker in the House. I am four people trying.
So I guess you're done on that Adam Sandler train over there?
No, okay. He wasn't in any
Adam
Sandler
movies.
Yeah, I
figured
as much.
I was wrong.
I got really excited. He's still alive. Go, Don Gibb, go.
I do have to say, I think if there's one performer that really did well, and this is not saying much, this is just saying that she kind of met the bare minimum of qualification to be considered acting in this movie, was Gigi Gustin, mm-hmm. who played Elaine, the
assistant/nurse.
Hey, she was
the
good.
One that had to talk
like,
to the attorneys all the time.
Right.
The blonde-haired girl.
Yeah.
She had tears, okay?
See,
they were legit. Wait.
When she was crying and she had her big old tracks in her makeup.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was thinking of the other one where she was crying when she got...
You're thinking of Jennifer Lee Wiggins who played Tamari.
Yes, where she got confronted and then she started letting, and then in the end she made a tear cry out. And I was just like, okay, I'm impressed.
Okay, Gigi, she appears to be someone who wandered onto set. And mm-hmm. they were like, okay, you're in this movie now. And she's like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
And
that's how we tackle everything in life.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, would you like a lab coat? Yes. Can you cry? I can try. How much makeup do you wear? So much.
Someone hit her foot with a hammer, huh?
Yeah. I feel like Jennifer had more acting chops than Gigi did.
I don't know.
I mean, we're not even talking about Juliana, the sketchy, hardcore Air Force IT, like, doomsday cult chick.
DeStefano.
Yeah.
She's, I mean, the problem is she's not in this long enough to really get a good
her
hint
and her fake
of her
tattoo where you could see like where they had just like squished it on her arm. So fresh.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I think all of the people we just mentioned are all acting on the same level. Like, I feel like
oh no, there is
Jennifer's
one
ability.
No, there's another level.
There is one person above this level, and I have to give her shout outs because Regina McKay Redwing, who is the Nigerian delegate,
who had a whole three lines,
who had one/a half of a costume change out of 50 some odd days of being on screen. Yes, queen. Yes, sit there in disgust and be like, no, I don't want the U.S.
She's
or
like,
Russia doing
she's
this.
Like, sit there and get paid. That's
I mean,
what it was.
She was sitting across from Eric Roberts and she got paid. She didn't have to stand up. She didn't have to do anything. And the woman came to play. I give her my money. I will recast you in Armageddon 2.
Yeah, the only thing I will say on the slight negative side, even though I feel like oh, she was overall great, is that like her full Wakandan accent started to slip at some
point. Hold on. Did you say Wakandan?
Yeah.
Just making sure. Because it did say Nigerian, so you could say Nigerian, but
Okay, but like, come on.
No, if we're talking accent slips, we are talking about the guy that was supposed to be Russian.
I can't find him on the list here.
His name is Zachary Chikos. Zachary Chikos, a.k.a. Zach Chikos.
Turgenev,
where he was like, he's from Minnesota. We're starting there. And then he apparently would only say the W's in certain spaces. And I'm like, no, no. And I'm like, just pretend to be American. Like, come on. Or at least try to be German. Because his like Russian was as close to German as you could get. And then it would just drop. And then he'd still be having conversations. And it was just American. And I'm like, you.
No. A for effort though, right?
No. No. Here's the thing. I'm certain this man got his Russian accent from Walter Koenig from Star Trek because he was just copying and paste nuclear vessels. Like, he heard that and he's like, I can do that. And that's what he did.
Tell us about the nuclear vessels.
I felt like, though, whoever did his, like, makeup and whatnot just tried to make him look like this guy.
Yeah.
Like, which is a very longstanding Russian actor in Hollywood, Rade Serbedzija. Sorry if I butchered that name, but
sorry, my friend. But yeah, that was for accents slipping. We have to talk about Zachary Chikos. Also, his name was Chikos.
Zachary Chikos.
Chikos. But
which also goes by Zach Chikos, apparently.
Still, that's so sketchy.
Yeah. He sounds like he's like some kind of guy who works in Santa Rosa who sells like, you know, subs on the beach or something. I don't know. I mean, Santa Cruz over there just... Honestly, like, this whole cast list wasn't really...
It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was no way to define this cast other than they were hilarious. And the earnesty in some of the performances, where I think where Eddie's coming in with Elaine, where she's like, she wandered in, but she's given it her all.
I give her that. I mean, she did give her all. Like, she was like... Let me go ahead and take this footage. Let me put this so everyone can see. Let me live stream. And I'm like, okay. Like, I work in social media, so I know what it's like to be in everybody's way when you're doing social media. So I'm like, get it, girl. Get those angles. You got this. And the whole, like, when she's doing the whole kind of narrating the video, and she goes, and this is Dr. So-and-so as she's trying to do her blah, blah, blah. And then the girl who plays the daughter turns around and she goes, no, it's us. It's we. I don't want to make it about myself. And she goes, oh, well, I'll just start it over. I'm like, I know that feeling. I got to stop the live stream because somebody's not happy. And you got to restart it because somebody's like, oh, you got the name wrong. You need to redo that. Or you have to retitle this because it's not correct. It's like, woman, you should have gave it to me at the beginning then.
Okay,
sheesh.
So what I'm actually hearing
is a personal level.
Yes,
kind of
it's like, a professional. She connected with you on a professional,
on a professional level. I'm like, yes, get it, girl. If that's the intern, that is exactly her job, to be going around saying, what can I do? What can I do? How can I help you guys? What can I do? She hit it, and she hit it hard. This give her props.
Is the wildest thing from you. Like, I was not expecting
knowing,
this.
So knowing the level of quality of what we're getting out of these performances, you're lucky I'm even giving that. I will give credit to where credit is due, and that's the least amount of credit I can give. And speaking of credit, let's talk about this story, which was written...
Wait, so we're not going to talk about Veronica at all?
What is there to say? Honestly, go ahead. I'll tell you what. Here you go, Spencer. This is me passing the ball to you.
Okay.
Go ahead. You talk about Veronica Ginsavisuke.
Okay. Here's what I'd like to say about Veronica. She gave me the most confused performance I've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, yes, her character was angry about something. Mm-hmm. I think upon a rewatch, it was like her father not crediting her enough on her project.
No,
but like, it was not very well put out. So this entire movie, there's just like this anger with her that you're trying to really understand, but it comes from nowhere. But then her line delivery sometimes, it borders on sarcastic,
yeah,
occasionally, and then you're
even
like,
if it's supposed to be sincere,
yes,
it just comes
just
off sarcastic.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Here's the thing. This actress in this movie is the epitome. It is the poster child of what you think of when you hear someone say, "No, Dad, it's not just a phase." That is literally what I see when I saw her performing.
It's the epitome of, "But Daddy, I love him." Like, come on.
Yeah, it was like whiny teenager throughout the entire movie.
Yes.
And there was no sense of sincerity, even though the music underlying it in what she was saying didn't, like, was meant to say, oh, you know, this is her being heartfelt. She goes, "Oh, well, it's us. It's not me, it's us." And it's like, why you gotta say it so gruffly like that?
That line specifically was supposed to be like, we're a team and all good things. But like, it came across as like, you messed up again, Elaine.
Well, it doesn't help that if you watch throughout the movie, when she does give a compliment or anything, every time she does it with the eye roll. Like, oh, good job. Like, she's trying to give a compliment, but she's...
Her eyes get like so big around. Like, she's like the snappy teenager that you just wish you could have smacked at the grocery store yesterday because you know she needs one. That's what that woman was in this movie. It's like, it didn't make any sense as to how she was delivering lines, because in her mind, she was doing Oscar worthy stuff. In the movie, it was the same delivery for every line.
Okay, wait. We have to also talk about the scene where they're confronting the spy in the building.
Yes.
During her whole line delivery, she kept looking to the floor and off to the side.
Well, she did the same thing.
She's getting pouty.
No, and she did this.
She's reading her script off the floor. Okay?
Like, probably.
I believe that's what she's doing.
I kind of believe that.
And the thing is, she did the same thing when she presented in front of the committee. She did the same thing. She was looking down. She goes, I know you're just judging me by the way I look, and you don't think I could do that. And she's looking down, and she's like having a whole temper tantrum.
And at that point, you got to keep in mind, they never said anything to her about the way she looks or her education or anything. It's just that comes out of right field.
Right.
Like, oh, don't judge me because of my clothes. And it's like, woman, they did it.
And what was crazy about that specific scene is those politicians were being reasonable. Can you even imagine reasonable? What?
It's like every instance that they could, they were like, oh, you just don't... What's her name in the movie?
Alexandra.
Oh, Alexandra, you just don't want to work with the government because, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And she's like,
yeah, they judge you before they even... And I'm like, you've probably met them for like 3 minutes total. Like, you don't know these people, you know? And I mean, I'm pretty sure you had somebody in your corner because that Nigerian delegate was like so rooting for you to do your job.
She's like, come through, girl, come through.
It's like, all you had to do was just turn and say, right, delegate? And she'd be like, yeah, whatever. Just
say, she had an audience and it was there for her.
Out of the four people there, she had a 25% vote, so, you know.
It's more than others, right?
And talking about the story is so thin. Essentially, there's an asteroid heading for Earth. They're already in a space, like, right when the movie gets going, like, at the very beginning, Russia has already sent a nuke to hit this asteroid, which causes other little asteroids to hit, which have no consequence anywhere else, because it doesn't matter. And then they find out that nukes aren't going to do it, so they need to figure out something. While this whole time, this old man, who sounds like he's dying, but he doesn't say he's dying, and nobody knows.
Who has Elaine as an assistant. assistant in a lab coat, but we can't really tell if she's an assistant, wink, or an assistant. Oh my
gosh.
What? And so okay, it's sorry. The lab wait, coat. Whoa, whoa, it's the lab coat. The woman comes in a lab coat, and Amy's, the dad is Amy's sitting there at the table. Amy's alluding to
bow, chica, bow, bow, that whole kind
she
of assistant.
She could be fetching wow. medicine. Like, I don't know.
Okay, I did not get that yeah, read off.
She only wears a lab coat all. Once the now, entire time, now, and he works from his house behind his computer.
Because he's old.
That was his house?
That was a laboratory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't a laboratory.
That was not his house.
Yeah, that was his lab.
Because they just took out his desk and put in
his murder. That's why I assumed that she was coming from a lab, which is why she had a lab coat.
Why wasn't anybody else wearing a lab coat the entire time? Because they were in the labs.
Because they only afforded two people. And it was just the dad and Elaine. You didn't see anybody else.
He wasn't wearing a lab coat.
Apparently, afford her.
Apparently, at the last minute, they had to hire a security guard to get the traitor out.
That's why he had his masking tape
back. And that's why they had no. And that's why they had no IT support, which is why they had to bring in what's his face, Loverboy.
Yeah, ex Loverboy.
Ex Loverboy with the magic goober. But ultimately, he's like, oh, I know how to defeat this. You need a powerful laser. Let me get my daughter, who I don't talk to in over 10 years. And then he dies. She comes to the States. She
but
figures
she's a metallurgist or whatever it is.
Too. Yeah. A metallurgist?
Like, a metallurgist. Yeah.
Yeah. And something else. Yeah. And it's like she knows how to build lasers from studying rocks. And
yeah, but
metals.
If you remember, he didn't want to call her at the beginning. She was the one that like, well, you have a daughter that does both. And he's like,
But
and
also,
eventually what's he happening? Does try and
but
call.
But the best part was when he's like, oh, I know where she is. And Elaine's like, what? And he goes, I stalked her on Instagram.
Yeah,
I was a hunky hippie guy from Berkeley and she accepted my stuff, so I know where she is. And I'm like,
so he might not be the best dad, but he's sure as heck is a great social media stalker, so we know that much.
That's why Elaine's got all of her social media skills.
And so essentially dad dies, daughter comes to the States, figures out what she needs to do to help out government, they have that whole government meeting where she's like, oh, you're judging me, and then she goes and does it by herself. Stuff happens. All the while there's this random freaking like religious cult who is apparently wanting to let this thing hit the earth so everybody could die.
They believe God's will.
Yeah, they believed it was from the heavens that it's supposed to come down.
Which I have to admit, if there is any individual who kind of sold me on being just a crazy nut job, it was the guy who played Malachi.
Good job, yes. Craig.
Yeah, that guy, Craig Gellis. Whatever
he played
his name
a thug
is.
At the Nancy Drew movie.
He actually has played several thugs or criminals throughout like TV history. I went and looked at his like you know his...
he was in Mayans. Holy smokes! For like more than one episode.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So he does the thug look right. So
But the problem is that he's too interesting for this movie.
True.
Because like. All of a sudden, you're like, I'm part of a religious cult. And you're like, oh, I can't wait to learn more about you and what you're trying to really do.
And you don't.
And like,
he only does three scenes? Yeah. Four scenes, including the end?
But he's got about like four or five scenes, but they're all just like random scenes of just him giving little snippets about, you know, the belief in what they do.
Reading his Bible verses off his little folded up pieces of paper was great.
Yeah, that was a mini Bible, I guess.
No, not the one that was actually like a book. It was just literally he's holding two pieces of paper when they first introduce him, and he's reading about, you know, he's
it's the parts of the Bible that he could only believe. So but I honestly, like when I saw his scenes, it felt like it could transition over into like a Breaking Bad episode or something, because he felt legit. It didn't matter who he was working with. He made the person he was working with, which was that one girl that you had mentioned,
Juliana
DeStefano. He made her look good in this
really
movie.
Yeah, honestly, if you cut these two out of this movie and put them into another movie, I bet you if they would probably gel.
I think he was also on 24. He played as a terrorist, I believe, in 24.
He's also in Being My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and he was in... I was looking him up. He was in a lot of things.
He's got a good filmography. I mean, I you got to give him credit.
They do. That's by his credits.
And the thing is that it sucks because he does do a pretty decent performance, but because he's in this movie, it's like the level of the entire cast, including him, just stay in that little lower level echelon of quality. And so obviously we have what's her name, Alexandra, trying to figure this out. The government is doing their whole entire chaotic thing, thinking about sending another nuke. And the Nigerian candidate, which we had mentioned was in her corner, is like, get the girl back here, have her do her thing with the blah, 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 whatever. And so Alexandra's like, no, I'm too cool for this.
Building it ourselves.
We'll build it ourselves.
And then Steve dies. The truck driver, she doesn't even know.
Yes.
Steve. Yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes, right? I'm just saying, like, her mood changes really quickly and very confusingly, too, because she's like, who's Steve? And then once they're like, oh, it's the truck driver that's been driving for us. And she goes, oh, does he have family, kids? She's like,
and she does the whole O face, like, oh, like, and that would have been like drink number 99 at that point.
Oh,
and she does the whole looking down, like, oh, does he have family, kids? And it's like, oh my god, like, learn a new move.
Also, I would like to, upon second watch,
I'm sorry, you saw it twice?
Yeah, I watched it while we were waiting. So I had time. Yeah. So I now believe Steve was murdered because upon looking in the footage in this movie,
he should be okay, right?
He should be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
What? Nothing happened to that.
Wait. So did anybody else have a problem with the truck barely tapping the car and blowing up?
Yeah.
Because I had a big problem with
because
that.
Because all that that tungsten is so flammable, Spencer.
But don't you know?
It's a very flammable
people not having the truck.
But exactly. People having tungsten rings, they're just walking time bombs. You don't know this, but and so she ends up finding out there's a traitor in her midst. And they try to put it on Elaine, but it's not Elaine. It's
surprise. She's talking to the attorneys. That's all she does.
Yeah, which is
adorable.
Good on her. Good on you, Elaine. Good on you. But it's Himari, the character played by Jennifer Lee Wiggins, who has this whole what to do of like, I read that email from that religious cult and they made sense. We're just let just kill everybody, blah blah blah. It's
No, that's not the reason, is it?
Yeah.
What?
She's literally because like, I had a change of heart and you won't help with anybody
because
and
she read the
you.
Email.
Yeah, they show the email on Alexandra's laptop. And then she's like, oh, did you read it? And she's like, no, I don't believe in any of that. And she's like, oh, okay.
Wow, that was not my interpretation of what
you
happened.
Saw it twice, saw too. It. Come on.
I saw all this out. That scene specifically, too.
You know why?
No, stop. Okay, so the reason.
Wow, I'm almost interested in why now.
You know why. No, I thought what they were trying to do was that, like, this was, like, you know, one of those deep plans where it started years prior to this movie even started.
She's been plotting since the beginning.
Yes. Like, she was obviously fed up with her and her father. Yes.
Well, yeah, but she mentioned that. But yes, the breaking point was the email.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought, like, she got an email years ago bringing her in.
No.
She's so dumb. Yeah. Are you serious?
No, that literally was her thing. She's like, I read it. And that was the entire thing when they're having the conversation. And she's like, what are these cold people? Go away. And she goes, maybe we should, like, hear them out.
Well, I thought that was just the movie trying to
because
it's her super wink.
She would have planted super, super earlier when they first found out the asteroid was coming. She'd be like, we could stay in Chile. It'd be just fine.
Why I was confused.
Exactly.
That's bad.
Spence, I thought it was the fake wave coming behind the car that's on the road.
That they're staring
and
at. And they're going on the straight, even though they end up at the top of the hill.
With no roads behind them.
Yeah. Where they have no way of getting down from that hill. Yeah, that was bad.
Where they have to wait for the water to recede, which could actually take hours.
Yep, and not just minutes.
Yeah. So we get that, and so Himari is then booted from the island. She's no longer on there.
She's taken out by duct tape, police officer, not police officer man.
What? Okay, hold on.
I thought he was security.
We need to talk about this. Why is he called duct tape, Amy?
Because this gentleman looked like he had just come from the tactical supply store, but the piece de resistance was he had black duct tape over one nipple that said, like, security or patrol something with a star. It was duct tape.
Literally,
it wasn't even
all
like,
I heard when we saw this movie was, this man has duct tape on his nipples. That's all I heard her say.
And all you did was look at me.
And I'm like, and then look back what at the are TV. You talking about? And I'm like, maybe he has an undershirt. I'm thinking Amy's like, he duct taped his nipples down so you don't see it through the shirt. I didn't know what she was talking about.
So, I was right, though. It's just literally right there on the top of that shirt.
So they make an attempt to try to destroy the asteroid with the laser. Alexandra is all headstrong. Pedal I'm going to do it. I can do it. Whatever. I'm going to... And then she ends up breaking the laser on the thing. So they have to use a bigger laser, with then, which then they get the help from the government. And they go and destroy the asteroid with the laser. But not before the MacGuffin of the entire movie shows itself, if you will, Alexandra's hidden skill, where she is kickboxing with someone else.
No,
and
no,
and they're
kickboxing.
Like,
don't say that.
It wasn't anything else.
Okay,
brawling? You can't put a name on this.
She was kicking and she was boxing. So it's kickboxing.
Every style does that.
But she was also going,
you can't. You could easily say that was Taekwondo.
And they had to put it in there. That's what I'm saying. Hugo had to
she
ask.
She wasn't moving her feet.
Well, it could be something else, but
no. Okay. And they had to put in the moment where Hugo asked, like, have you ever had to use that? And she goes, once, on someone who didn't understand the word no. And it's like, okay, all right, okay, feminista, take it easy, we get what you're trying
but
to
then
say.
He specifically said after that, he's like, what happened? And then she completely ignores him.
Well, yeah. let's have a conversation really briefly about the really ignored two members of the team. First off, the guy that played Roland, whose actual name is D'Artagnan Woods.
D'Artagnan
off,
Woods.
D'Artagnan. Very nice. Beautiful name. You should have been D'Artagnan. We didn't need you to be a Roland, buddy. Like,
I thought you were looking at Spencer. He's like, Spencer, you should have been named D'Artagnan. D'Artagnan Williams.
It's amazing.
Your new name.
His like role in this was next to none until the pièce de résistance, when we get to that laser sequence the first time with him and Isaac J. Cruz, who went by another name in this movie, wink, Hugo.
Spencer's already mentioned that. Right? Yeah, you don't have to do the wink.
But the fact that their interaction running back and forth between a console, which I looked at the first time and went, that's not what I think it is it? And both of you chimed in saying, what was the thing that they were running back and forth?
It was a Maggie soundboard. Yeah, we've seen these so many times. They've been in storages. They always have that super familiar rounded front that's slotted like this, horizontal slots. It always looks like that. Every single Mackie back in the day looks like that.
That's what we call a signature right there.
Exactly. And we looked at it and I'm like, what is he fine tuned? That's a soundboard. That's a soundboard. That's a soundboard.
But he also was like, he was moving it and I knew it was a soundboard and I was like, no. And he put on his headphones. He's like, I'm checking structural integrity. And he would like move them up. And I was like, is he turning up the gain? It's not plugged into anything. His headphones
aren't turning up the gain. No. And then they had somebody working underneath it. No. I'm like, there's nothing underneath that soundboard.
That was the best. No. Because
like, what are you doing underneath? It's just a panel underneath that soundboard. No. There is nothing underneath it.
No. So story-wise in that, they got hacked. They got hacked by Malachi and Laura, and they've messed up the server and the magical Magoober Guffin.
Oh, you got to go backtrack on that, though, because we didn't mention anything about the little flash drive that was given.
No, you did.
No, he didn't mention
the goober.
I mentioned his magic goober because ultimately the goober. They have issues not yet. They have issues where emails are disappearing or whatever, and so she calls her friend, quote unquote, to come through.
It's her
side squeeze, her FWB, if you will. And he comes and he goes, oh, yeah, if you look at the logins from the server, blah, 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 this is not, you know, we could have been something, you know, Alexander, we could have.
It was so sad.
And he goes, here, this is the person that you're looking for. This is what happened here, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, she goes, oh, okay. He goes, here, I made this goober for you. If you ever get hacked, just plug it in and it'll protect your servers. And I'm like.
And he says manual overdrive, not automatic overdrive, manual. Okay. Yeah.
So that explains
a lot more.
But then you get to the point where, like, it's time, and they show the shot of the server room, and Spencer and I are like, okay, we got to run down the hall. Mm-hmm. You got to plug it in.
Yeah.
Nope. No. D'Artagnan, you did us dirty. You climbed under the MIDI.
Let's first recognize that Alexandra has no idea where she put this goober because she's checking every pocket she has. And she finds, she goes, oh, why didn't you try this? And she hands it to D'Artagnan, and he goes under the table. And I guess plugs it in, and it's like we're back
to
we're
what back. To what
he put it on the little lip.
You got nothing
under
there.
It's the two-sided USB port on all those desks that they have. Just plug it in. It's just
yes, obviously that directly connects to the server.
Yeah.
But I think the best part was Spencer and I were like, we figured a workaround to this. Between literally all they need to do was have a closet door and put server room another piece of duct tape, server room in Sharpie, and had him go through that door and boom.
Fine.
Oh, that would actually make sense.
It would. And then we would be like,
But I still have a problem because it's manual over. You have to do something to activate it. It's not you plug in, it works.
Okay.
I'm pushing up my glasses. How could you possibly be fair?
All I'm saying is there are system boot ups with thumb drives.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know this, Spencer.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that what they did was right. I'm not saying what they did was correct. I'm just saying
that you're pushing up your glasses to an IT person.
Excuse me. I'm an IT person as well. I've worked in IT. So
I must be an IT person as well.
Just because you have glasses? No. But no, there are certain boot up sequences that are digitally imaged on thumb drives.
Yes, I do that all the time.
I think that's what they were trying to do.
You think they re-imaged?
I'm just saying that was probably the thought. I didn't say they executed it well. I'm just saying that's what they thought. And they failed horribly. That's all I'm saying.
The amount of time of what you're suggesting,
Spencer,
is so bonkers.
All I'm saying is that all they had to do was just change it from manual to automatic. And that would have made sense to me. Because anytime anyone says, oh, it's manual, that means, okay, it's a manual car. Okay, it's stick shift. You got to do something to accelerate it. Right?
I'll agree with that. It should be more automated sticking it under a desk is fine.
Yes, I now know how to fix all of our server problems at work. I'm going to climb under my desk.
She's going to go find a goober and just start plugging in.
It's not like I work right across from the bay of IT guys. Her coworkers will be like,
Amy, what are you doing with my Christmas pictures? I need those back.
I need to put in the...
I'm fixing the server.
She's like, I'm trying to save the planet.
Exactly how I sound at work.
And so they fail horribly. Then Alexandra realizes that she's been hacked, blah, 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 this and that. They figure out who it is. They tell her, blah, blah, blah. Then they decide to work with the government and they give
blah,
her
blah, blah,
blah,
blah. I like how we're just jumping around in this
because
movie.
There's not much context in
like,
between.
Like what are we talking about? From the beginning,
do we
need, two, three, four.
Do we need order? Because really, this movie is chaos. How do we best thrive in chaos?
No, yes. I guess that makes sense. Because if you throw one scene a different way, it would still somehow fit.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
That's the entire thing of literally you brought up at the beginning.
That shouldn't encourage us to do it, though.
That Julia Roberts' brother was sitting there. Yeah, sorry, I couldn't remember. I almost called him General. I was wrong.
He is a general.
No, don't. Please don't. Because then Amy will go on this whole high horse thing of like,
she's going to be like,
I know generals and I know what their stars look like. I know the ridges of these general stars.
Maybe they had like X amount of time to get their costume
done. No.
I have made a wide berth on this specifically so I can ignore that fact and I will not rabbit hole like he's mentioned.
She will literally run on about this for God knows how long just because she knows, quote unquote, military decorum and whatnot. She did this for Bloodsport. We just told you. She did this for
Bloodsport.
It's Bloodsport. It's about fighting. And she's like, they would never let him do that. They would, oh my God, if he was this, he would never, blah, blah, blah. If they were, no, I don't, this movie is beneath Bloodsport. I don't want
to
have that.
The fact, right from the jump, that he was sitting there in the meeting and he was drinking a beer sitting on the couch, which is completely out of context.
That was probably a selling point. I'm going to be honest. That was probably a selling point. Eric, we'll tell you what, you take this picture, you could have a beer every time you do a scene. All right. And then you just took it. Like that.
And then you turn slightly in your chair, look a little bit confused, take your glasses down and have a touch.
He goes, you don't even have to memorize your lines, Eric. The lines will be on the wall right behind the actor you're talking to. You're good to go. We're gonna Marlon Brando this stuff.
They only paid him X amount, so maybe he only
wanted to. He's got a list, it's not listed, but he's got a determined fee every time he does movies. And it's not cheap.
How much?
He's a very well-known actor. He will come in, so all of his movies that he does, I'm pretty sure, hold on, you guys talk about something for a second.
No, now I really want to know how much money this man makes. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, if I get to 600? Sit there, something. He got good money.
Like, even if he only was paid like $600, like that was like the
easy. He was even paid probably more than that, including
royalties too.
But also considering that he's on screen for it, he might be charged per minute. Like, because that's how you make some money when you just have to sit for 5 minutes and you're like, listen, it's $3,000 for every minute.
Sure, it's not every line that he goes?
He didn't have enough lines because literally he was like, take off my glasses.
All right, here we go. Okay. So his pay is per day. Say you have him for per day.
Yeah.
So Eric Roberts pay per day is $3,652.97.
Nice.
As of the time that I've opened this webpage, which was at 8:40, which has only been seconds. It hasn't even turned to 8:41. He has earned already $1.43. He's already earned $2 in the time that we started, if he was working. Well, it has it set down to the price per second, per minute, per hour, per day, per week, per month, per year.
Brilliant.
He makes $1.3 million a year in the movies that he makes.
See, 600, so, over 600 films.
So if you're looking at, like, say there's a four-week, you know, filming schedule with Eric Roberts, per week, full week, you know, that's 5 days, 8 hours a day. That's $25,641.03.
Yeah, no,
they
film
probably
does
could
eight
afford
hours.
Them from maybe a day to 2 days. And
I
that's
like this
it.
Website. I just found this too.
That's bookmark that.
I'm gonna bookmark it too.
Book it. Send it to us.
Yeah, because it's like
we like this.
The fact that he is paid that much, you're doing the whole. Where did we hear it at? Where the idea of, I think Troma's done it, or other B movies have done it, where you get an A-list actor to come. Oh, it was when actually I saw the Grindhouse movie, the Grindhouse double feature movie.
Ooh,
and we were talking about, I saw a snippet of the behind the scenes where they were talking about the format of Grindhouse movies or B movies at the time, where they would take A-list actors, put them on the promotional material, everything, and have them in the movie for less than like 10 minutes in total. And if you take a look at the first Grindhouse feature in that double feature, you have Bruce
Terror
Willis.
Planet?
Planet Terror.
Oh, Planet Terror.
Planet Terror. Bruce Willis is in that movie.
Yeah.
But he's in that movie for maybe a total of like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Not much.
That's
so,
the beginning, right?
Yeah, that's at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they may have like a flat day rate for some of them, but for a lot of these scenes, if you're like filming it and then you have to refilm it, reshoot or you know, takes, however many takes, that ultimately determines how much that person makes. So if they had Eric Roberts on screen for about a total of maybe 15, 20 minutes and their payday, their, you know, structure of it was they had to do two of those scenes over the course of a week and then another scene for another week. That's 2 weeks pay. That's a, you know, roughly at least $7,000-$8,000.
Yeah. This man makes money hand over fist.
Yeah. So good on him. But I don't
That's
even
really
know.
Good though.
I don't even know why we started talking about that.
I mean, but we just got to that point because literally we're talking about Ben brought up the fact that this we're not in, you know, chronological order of this movie. We're jumping all over the place. But the thing is, this story is so convoluted. It doesn't matter if we start with Eric Roberts drinking a beer in a UN-esque like summit about a giant asteroid coming at you. Or, you know, he's having secret, not really secret conversations with the high chancellor.
Chancellor. No, I think he was just head of the committee because
but
he wasn't.
Then,
he wasn't.
He literally.
Because he wasn't technically a part of the executive
he
team.
He tried to get into like the secret silo society.
And he was.
Pleansense?
Did you say president?
Yep.
Rare. Yeah, nah. And like the what? Fact the
yeah,
fact
no,
is literally if
with.
I put my hand in front of my face
yeah, I didn't
and I'm
understand
still talking
that.
I'm being so secret. Oh, me and my secrets right here. Nobody hears.
They got mad at the Russians for
he's
it.
He's listed
though.
As exactly. Chairman Pleasance.
Chairman.
Or chairman.
Well, either way, Chairman Pleasance was not gonna make it.
So so ultimately this movie ultimately wraps up where there's not a big emphasis on when they actually destroy the asteroid because they want to highlight, as we mentioned earlier, that hidden skill of Alexandra when Malachi finally figures out they pinpoint where they're at because apparently posting on social media gives away where you're located, which I don't think
she
that's
been
on
thing. Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter. So he's able to locate the actual place where they're at, goes there, and has this big old fight with Alexandra, which isn't really even a fight.
It's not even a big fight.
He
it's,
literally
that,
kicks her once in the stomach, and she just sits there on the ground like...
Yeah.
Just like that?
Like, yeah.
Sound like an angry cat.
I mean, is there any better animal to sum up this woman?
Yeah, sloth.
Actually.
No, sloth.
Well, after she got kicked in the stomach, it's just like
sloth.
If you, like I said, if you put her on mute, it looked like she had hiccups or something. It didn't even look like she was trying
poop.
To catch her breath.
She had a bad poop.
So ultimately wraps up. They have the fight, and then she's brought back to the summit where they're like, "We should have never judged you by the look of your how you look on the outside."
Also, just to interject, Did they judge her? Did they really? No. Or was she just being rude?
She was projecting and being rude.
She was being prudish.
She jumped to conclusions.
So
poorly.
So with that said, we just went over the story of it. We talked about some of our favorite, or not favorite moments for the actors and so forth. Let's talk highlights or issues. I know we said already quite a few, but is there any highlight that you guys can think of right off the bat for this film?
Yes.
And let's start. Okay, let's start with Ben.
Oh, dang. My bad.
There you go. You speak up. What's happened?
The second time I rewatched it, I actually kept track of the time that they were going through. At first, he starts off with, it's 56 days. And then all of a sudden, the next scene, it's like, 46 days. And it's like, okay, what happened to those 10 days? And then from there, it goes 39 days.
Life happens, well, here's man. My thing. Life happens.
They go, 39 days left before the asteroid hits. They're like, when they're in the summit the first time with Andrea, and she's like, the Russians, it's going to take less than 2 weeks to get another nuke out there. And it's like, can you do better? And she's like, it's going to take about 2 weeks. And then that's when she jumps, don't judge me by the way I look. And it's just like, really? And then from there, it's just like, it gets lower, but there's like gaps in between. You don't know what's happening.
So is this an issue or is this a highlight?
This is a issue. Issue.
A issue. This is a issue.
It's a highlighting issue.
Because I hate the issue. That's why it's a issue.
What about you, Spence?
No. Like, honestly, there's nothing I really want to highlight or any issues that are remaining. Except I guess the whole tidal wave sequence.
Yeah.
That they were on a straightaway and then got away from a tsunami.
Yeah. Yep. And got to the top of a mountain too.
Souped-up car will do that. Just talk to Vin Diesel.
Yes. They got to the top of a mountain that looked exactly like the top of the mountain.
I think they were in a busted
SUV,
but okay. What about you, Ames?
The only last thing I have to talk about is the tacked up in memoriam poster / brochure for the dead dad that ended up in the cubicle of the screens that never changed with those screensavers, and learning that petawatts are a real big thing.
There you go.
That was amazing.
If I were to think of any kind of, highlights, I did want to highlight one thing, and it's completely random, but I thought it was worth mentioning. Where's he at?
Is it a issue?
Rick Williamson, who played Nicola, the father, looked a little like, oh my gosh, how am I drawing a blank?
I don't know how you're drawing a blank. Are you drawing right now? That's a boo. That should have been a boo, Spencer.
Spencer's all out of boos right now. The actor looked a little like Kevin Conroy, and it was good to see some kind of semblance of the man, even if you turned off the audio and was like, Kevin Conroy's voice. Kevin Conroy's voice. Kevin Conroy. He looked a little like Kevin Conroy. I got to give him credit for that. It's genes, obviously, not his ability, but still. But the only other issue I had with the movie was how much I really didn't like the dynamic of the team. Their team seemed so more interesting than the main character, and I wish somebody would have taken over the team. Like, I wish somebody would have locked Alexandra in a closet and said, we're taking over from here, and then they just did it. Because I felt like Hugo would have been a great leader. But that does bring me to our roundtable question of the evening. Now, it does seem a little confusing, but I will explain in just a second. So, we just saw Asteroid again. The roundtable question is, if you could take any character or actor from this film and swap them out for a performer in the 1998 smash hit film Armageddon, who would you pick and who would you replace? So we're going to go around the table, and we've already gotten our names ready to go. So I'm going to start with Amy.
I like that you're starting with me. Okay, so I went for somebody that can actually do a real Russian accent, regardless of if I'm replacing him on the team, because I think he would have whipped everybody into shape. Sorry, Alexandra, you getting off the boat. Peter Stromar.
Hold on, because I think you're missing.
No, it said replace, right?
Yeah.
I can replace. I'm replacing her.
No.
I can swap out a performer. And I'm
in the Armageddon movie. Who would you put from
the Armageddon? Armageddon?
No, who would you put from this movie into the Armageddon movie?
No, we did that the other way around. What?
It said if you could take any character actor and swap out a performer from Armageddon to
from Armageddon to this one.
To this one.
Yeah.
No, from
Yeah.
From Armageddon and replace it in this movie.
So I pick somebody from Armageddon and put them in this movie, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's just go with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what we're going with. Okay, and I still pick Peter Stromar because, like, Lev, let's talk about Lev real quick from Armageddon. Oh, yeah. First off, Russian. Let's go. He sounds great. He looks great. He's ornery. Second thing, he's the reason that second armadillo got down. And he didn't leave nobody behind. If we swap out Alexandra with her technically trying to be a Russian last name, Svobo Cobra something.
Yes.
Like, don't know. He could whip everybody into shape. And also, the delegation would have immediately, he could have ran that don't judge a book by its cover line and then literally gotten everybody on his side.
By the way, his name is Peter Stomare.
I thought it was Stomare. I said Stomare. Sorry. Okay, right. Thanks. I was wrong. No, but still right.
that works. What about you, Spence?
Nastrovia.
Okay, I'm going to do both ways because I had enough time to think about it. Okay.
Oh, me.
All right, so from putting someone in Armageddon into this movie, I'm going to select Keith David.
Yeah.
Because I love that man. And we'll replace him with Eric Roberts because that seems the most hilarious to me.
All right.
That's acceptable.
And then the other way around.
All right, so other way around. From Asteroid Again, I'm taking Veronica Issa, who played Alexandra, and I'm replacing her with Liv Tyler.
That's dirty, and that's why it's the move. Ben,
you spicy. All
right. Well, I'm gonna say Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay,
and replace him with the chairman Terry Woodbury. That plays like the main guy.
Okay.
I feel like he would actually get his point across and get things done right there when he says it.
Okay.
Not just, oh, wishy-washy. Well, how about this? Well, how about that? And not, oh, under the table. Tell DOD that it's off the books. Don't tell anybody. And it's like,
I feel like he would be smart enough to walk out of the room.
That's why I picked him.
True. So I have both as well, Spencer.
Okay.
Just like yours. So taking from Armageddon and putting in Asteroid Again, I would honestly, where am I at? I'm looking at my list here. I would take Steve Buscemi and replace D'Artagnan Woods and put him as the main IT person because I feel like Steve Buscemi would make an incredible IT, like his franticness and chaoticness. Like, I would just love to see that. Going the other way around, I'm kind of on the same path as Spencer, but not quite. I would take Veronica Issa from Asteroid Again, and I would replace the woman who gets hit with an asteroid who has a dog at the beginning of the movie, who is instantly gone, where the only concern for that homeless guy is to save the dog.
Dang.
And yeah, that's where I would go. I would just leave it at that. I feel like that would be the best way to go because I don't think I would want her. If that actress or that character lived in a world that I was in, I would hope for the asteroid to hit us too. So
I picked one that's just so ridiculous because it goes the opposite direction. So I already picked my Armageddon to Asteroid Again. Asteroid Again, we're taking Elaine.
Okay.
And we're going to switch her out with Bill Patton's chick. So Bruce Willis's best friend. And just see how that goes. Yeah.
What?
It doesn't make sense. That's the best part.
I mean,
because all she's going to do is stand there and be really confused.
Will Patton. You said Bill Patton.
I was thinking of Bill Paxton for a minute and I was like, nope, wrong.
He's not in this space movie. I like Will Patton. Will Patton's good.
I know.
He's from, you know, Remember the Giant, or Remember the Titans.
Yeah, Remember the Titans.
And he's also in the first Punisher movie.
But then if you put literally the girl who plays Elaine and she's supposed to do stuff against Bruce Willis and is no nonsense, like he would fire her immediately
just
and then bring
us
in Will Patton.
One more minute. We'll disable the bomb. I can see that working out. Wrapping this whole thing up, let's go ahead and go around the table and talk about whether the film passes or fails and how many broken monocles. Let's go ahead and start with Spencer.
Okay, so for passing, this is more of a, is it entertaining? And yes, it is, because it's going to fail by our normal standards. Like,
true.
Easily. So
I think, yeah, is it entertaining?
Yeah. So it's entertaining. Definitely. Bit slow in the first third, as we said, but like, you know, overall, pretty entertaining movie, especially when you get to the last third.
Yeah.
As for a score,
of broken monocles. Remember, these are broken, so they're not whole monocles. We're not looking to put them on the same level as, like, you know, other, you know, great blockbuster movies. We're putting them on the scale of broken dreams and monocles and whatever.
Damn, so, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna give this a 3.5. Like, it was decent.
There you go. What about you, Ben? Does the film pass as far as entertaining?
Yeah, I can.
And how many broken monocles out of five?
Well, you know how I am with movies. If I don't like them, I watch it once and that's it. Put it in the back burner.
Mm-hmm. You saw it twice.
I watched it twice, so it was...
I don't know if that says anything about you wanting to torture yourself. It's not, or...
I can watch it once or twice a year. I'll put it at that. Wow. I'm not gonna put it at... I'm going to put it with Elf. I don't even watch Elf. That's how bad the movie is to me. Wow. I don't even watch that for Christmas. No. It is entertaining. It's funny to watch. I'll say about a one.
Okay. One broken monocle out of five. Yeah. Amy.
In the that's entertainment section, this passes as that's entertainment. I expect that if you have the opportunity to imbibe while you're doing this, it'll get even funnier and funnier the farther you get in.
Yeah.
Did I decide that I might want to cosplay Alexandra in a far left, like, just ridiculousness? Thinking about it.
Maybe.
But then there's the option of being tiny Teddy Roosevelt on the shoulders of Abraham Lincoln shooting at zombies. And I thought,
Yeah, you and Spencer got to work that out, because Spencer's the only tallest one here.
The only tallest one here.
Shouting.
It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Amy's going to have, like, a little cardboard wall, like, on her neck. Just like that.
It'll be great. It'll be like those Dinosaur Rider, blow up Dinosaur Rider guys. In terms of broken asylum-based monocles, this guy isn't the worst one I've seen yet. It's still hilarious. It's getting a two monocles for me.
There you go. As far as my take, the film does pass as being entertaining. I did have fun with this, as ridiculous and inconsistent. We didn't even talk about, like, the wardrobe changes and all that kind of stuff.
I did.
Oh, you,
Nigerian delegate got 1.5 costume changes out of 50 some odd days.
it does pass as entertaining. It is fun to watch. Like you said, it does lend itself to having, if you are enjoying libations during the course of this, you could definitely have a lot more fun watching this. In terms of broken monocles, so this does bring up another set of thoughts and logic. In terms of the worst ones, no, it has not been the worst one thus far, thankfully. However, it is still one of those movies where there has to be some sense of focus and concentration within the film, and this movie is chaotic, but it is a fun chaos. So I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5. Ah. It's right in the middle of the road for me in terms of, you know, where it sits on that scale of Asylum Broken Dreams, but still... It is a definite fun movie. So that about wraps up another awesome episode of the Film Philosophers. As we mentioned during the course of our conversation, we are still doing a giveaway. If you want to sign up for this giveaway, head on over to any of our social links, which we will give you shortly, and sign up through our link tree at the top of the link tree. Get on this, because we're still going through till the end of the month for a chance to win a signed screen. I don't think it's screen news, a signed script. Mm-hmm. For the first Sharknado film, signed by the writer, creator, and just genius overall, Thunder Levin, of the film. So if you want to get in on that, make sure you sign up for that at our social pages, which you can find us at over at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101. We are also on Amy's playing with a mic foam piece. We are also on Threads at filmlosophy101, and we are also on Blue Sky at blue sky.filmlosophers podcast. So head on over there, because we are there too. So head also and Amy's Jane Unseen. We also have other segments. I'm sorry, I'm doing this out of work. We also have other great segments on our social pages, such as Spencer's Big Score and Amy's Jane Unseen, which can be found where, Amy?
The only place it's ever lived, which is at Jane Unseen on Instagram and Instagram only. If you're finding it other places, I swear it's not me. You might need to get it checked.
Or you could just report it.
Yeah.
Like, should we be worried?
No, we've asked this question.
Where else is she putting this stuff out at?
Threads. X.
Also, you could check us out over at our website at filmlosophers.com. Allegedly, we have over 300 episodes, everything from action, anime, comedy, suspense, thriller, space thrillers, B-movies. If you're looking for it, we got it. Head on over to our website at filmlosophers.com. And Amy's still playing with a foam head.
Yeah. Finger puppet.
It's a... Yeah. You can also check us out wherever podcasts are streaming, whether if it's Google Play, iTunes, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, Pandora. You can tune into your heart's desire on any one of those platforms. Look for us there at the Filmlosophers Podcast. Listen up to us. Give us a subscribe or a follow. Let us know how we're doing. We'd love to know how we're doing. And if you're enjoying it, give us a 5-star review. We've earned it.
We have.
Yes, I've been tormenting people with a finger puppet.
Yes, and of course, if you like what we say, you know, head on over to also where we also in the comment section. I'm over here trying to watch.
Are you okay?
I'm trying to watch Amy, and I'm like, what is going on over there?
Intern powers.
Oh my gosh! So yeah, look for us on the podcast. Follow us. 5-star review. Write comment there. So this was a fun episode. Look forward to next week as we dive more into the Asylum films. But from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
I'm still intern Amy.
I'm Ben.
Class dismissed.